Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
And good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to RMFP.com. In the meantime, I want to tell you about Sasquatch and Wildcard Casino. We're going to be giving away $50 to the first caller in the second hour of the show. If you've won in the past, you are not eligible to win again. And while you are up there, you can see how you can win an autographed by Vaughn Gittin 700 HP Mustang RTR. How do you like that? If you don't want it, you're going to get nearly $28,000 in cash instead. Grand prize drawing is September 25th and the 26th. Mace, how are you?
Doing very well. Very interesting day out at Broncos HQ. You and I were both there.
HQ, is that what the hip kids say?
Yeah, it is what this hip kid says, although wow. I'm not really a hip
they're
kid.
We're gonna go out to Broncos HQ at the UCH.
I am neither hip. See. I'm not really a kid, except to my parents. But yeah, it kind of hit me a few times today and when I was driving around as well. I don't think I've ever, in all my years of covering the NFL, and this is my 23rd season covering the NFL, it is my 20th on a specific team beat.
Right.
I don't think I've ever gone into a season in which there were so many questions about what so many key components of an organization were going to look like 12 months from now. Owner,
yep.
Coach,
right.
QB.
Right.
There's a very good chance that all three are different 12 months from now. This is really a fork in the road season for the Denver Broncos in a lot of ways.
Oh, that's neat and stuff. Well, how was the medium barbecue? I was there. I stayed for the pressers,
yeah.
But I missed the food. How was it?
It was fine.
What'd they have? Barbecue?
They had some pulled chicken. They had some...
All right. I missed that.
They had some pulled chicken. They had some beans. They had some macaroni.
You know why I missed it?
They had some really good coleslaw. It was actually apple coleslaw. The little slices of Granny Smith apples in there. Nice. It was really good.
Yeah.
Really nice.
You sound enthusiastic about it. You want to know why I missed the media? Want to know why I missed the barbecue portion?
You had to go get ready for the show?
No. Well, yes. Yes, I did. I walked into the wrong entrance. Clearly, I did not read the proper directions that I needed to get a COVID test. Before the start of the presser today, you told me you were getting there at 9:30 yesterday. I'm thinking Mason's out of his tree. He's getting there at 9:30. That doesn't make any sense.
And I said that's when you have to get there for the COVID test to be in the 2M tier.
Were there a lot of people there?
There were a fair amount. I mean, I walked over there, there was like Romy Bean from CBS4.
I've heard of her.
Dave Althaus. From,
I know Dave. I used to work with Dave.
Exactly. You know Dave very well.
I know most of these people.
Zach Stevens, a DNVR myself.
I know Zach.
Zach sat in, he sat in this chair. I sat in that chair. But yeah, I mean.
Probably did a better job than me.
People who would have said hello and asked you how you were doing, asked you how your family is.
They didn't care how I was. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I was at the gym, so maybe I don't feel so bad. But here's the thing. I missed the COVID test. I get a text saying, you are not going to be able to get priority press pass for the rest of the week unless you get a COVID test. I'm thinking, oh my God. So I said to one of the new Broncos PR people, can I just go down there now? They said, no, it's closed. I said, closed? They said, you have to get your own. You probably have to pay for it. I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. So I spent $100 on a COVID test.
$100?
Yeah. Well, wow. I had to.
Wow.
I took it out of your salary. Actually, Danny's salary. Yeah.
That's expensive.
Well, it's going to be more expensive for you guys. Time now for The Lead.
The Lead is presented by Marco's Pizza in Aurora, where everything is fresh, never frozen, like the dough and sauces to go with hand-cut meats and veggies. Order today at either location, off Smoky Hill Road or Quincy in Aurora.
Okay, Vic Fangio says, drum roll please, Drew Locke is getting the first snap at practice tomorrow. All right, we finally know. Breaking news, baby! It's Locke! Then Bridgewater. But Locke goes first! and he's getting his first snap because of seniority. Now, I asked Vic that question because he knew that was going to be the first question out of the box. Who's going to take the first snap? So I said it almost sarcastically to him. I said, Vic, I'm sure you guys really labored over your decision to decide who was going to get the first snap. And he's like, well, not really, which I figured that was the answer. He goes, he just kind of has the seniority and that's about it. So should we pick this apart for the next 3-4 segments on the significance of Drew Lock getting the first snap as we launch into this quarterback battle heading into the 2021 season, knowing that Aaron Rodgers is not going to be coming here, but Randall Cobb is going back to the Green Bay Packers.
Jake Kumerow following him.
No kidding. How would you like to be in a position having Aaron Rodgers and he's saying to George Payton, well, I got to make some personnel decisions here because there are certain guys I want to play with. How do you think that would go over?
Probably not well.
No, but let's get back to Drew Lock getting the first snap in the battle of Lock versus Bridgewater.
Well, it's tie goes to the runner, right?
He's got the seniority. Speaking,
yeah.
How long do you think? Let's role play for a second.
It means bupkis.
Exactly. Let's role play for a second. Okay, I am Pat Shermer. You are Vic Fangio.
Yeah.
And I'll start the conversation this way. Hey, Vic, we got to decide who's going to be the first one out on the field taking the first snap. We know the media is going to completely blow this out of proportion, but we got to do something. Would you like to sit down and talk about it? Maybe have a group of us, or do you have another direction you want to go?
No, Drew was here last year. He's first. That's it.
And that's exactly how that conversation should have gone.
It probably is how it should have gone.
Yes.
And
right.
the extended conversations to come will be, and this is something Fangio got into today, will be who gets more day to day. The end plan is for them to get the same number of reps, but Fangio acknowledged that some days might be more for one than the other.
Right, which of course we will read into as much as we possibly can. But this was interesting, a comment coming out of Vic Fangio, that the first team offense isn't necessarily going to look like a first team offense, depending on the situation. And you may have Cortland Sutton out there with 2 fourth-string wide receivers, and maybe not all the starters on the offensive line playing. Do you understand the logic behind that? Because I don't.
Well, it was interesting. He said, you know, the quarterbacks will kind of, they'll shuffle them around.
And that's okay. Yeah. And that's okay. But why are you mixing up the rest of the offense like you're shuffling cards?
Couple of reasons. Number one, at least for, he talked about how sometimes you might have a situation where the quarterback functions behind a number one O-line with backup receivers. Well, receivers are going to rotate pretty liberally anyway over the course of a game. I mean, we're going to, you know, last year when Tyree Cleveland was up and got a jersey, Tyree Cleveland would see, you know, anywhere from a handful to a dozen or a couple of dozen snaps. So you're, part of it is you're also trying to find out a little about the receiver as well. I think the key thing that he said that was interesting was to talk about the offensive line in particular, because he mentioned how, and he didn't want to name the team, and I'm going to do some sleuth work and try to figure it out, but he mentioned how a couple of years ago you had a team that had a
third string line
behind that was in front of a young quarterback, and that quarterback got hurt. I mean, you could maybe say it was Drew Lock, perhaps, a couple of years ago.
Maybe.
Even though he wasn't competing for the job. But
do you remember, let me ask you something, because we were not at practice last year, right? There was no training camp for us.
No training camp. We were there. I was there every third day. You were there about every fourth day.
Well, no, last year. Mm-hmm. Was there training camp last year? I can't even remember.
There was training camp.
But
there was a limit on credentials, so, you know, we couldn't go every, we didn't have a presence every day the way we're going to this year.
I think I even remember my first year with Vic Fangio. He would do this type of rotation where it was almost like a shell game on the street of New York City and pick where the ball is going to be.
Yeah.
You just don't know who the starting unit is. Because I don't remember that with McDaniels or Shanahan or Kubiak or Fox. Your starting unit was out there. The only guys really rotating were the wide receivers, but basically with the first string offense, it was your first four guys rotating and maybe a couple of running backs.
And you know what he does that on defense as well, because we saw that in OTAs. I remember noting that, oh, you've got Drew Lock who's with the first team, and he's going up against defense that only has the first team D lineup, or it's first team D line and inside linebackers, second team secondary edge rushers. Okay, I mean, he does a lot of shuffling, so it gets kind of confusing to parse through.
Right. Right.
But in the end, you got to execute no matter who and what you're with.
So Vic Fangio spoke to the media today. So did George Payton, Cortland Sutton, Von Miller, and Joe Ellis. And I have to tell you, like a fly hitting your nose at a barbecue or a cinder hitting your nose while a fire is going, it made me flinch. And I was like, what? When Joe Ellis said, the Broncos are not for sale. And I was like, what? He continued, though. What did he continue with? That's next.
I think that you were kind of mean. You just replaced me in the scene.
Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us. MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. In the meantime, I want to tell you about Mighty Plumbing, Heating, and Air. I worked with them probably about 4 weeks ago, and I can tell you honestly, it was one of the best experiences I've ever had working with any company that does what they do. Plumbing, heating, air. They showed up on time. And here was the funny thing. It's Mighty Plumbing, Heating, and Air, right? So I had a problem with my air conditioning unit. And I said, you know what? I think I have a problem with one of my toilets as well. I said, can you handle that? And the guy said to me, well, we work on everything, so yes, I can. Not only fixed my toilet, but then worked on my HVAC unit. As it turns out, I needed a brand new one. I knew he was not selling me something that I did not need because my unit was 28 years old. And if you remember, about 3, 4, 5 weeks ago, it was blazing hot. I mean, it's been hot, period, right? They got it in my house the next day. The customer service was just terrific. And by the way, if you're looking for a 30-point inspection and safety check, highly recommend it. It's just $69. Pretty inexpensive. Great service. Mighty Plumbing, Heating, and Air will also meet or beat any written offer. Go to mightyph.com. That's mightyph.com. Time now for the buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Mighty Plumbing and Heating. Why does Mighty Plumbing and Heating have nearly 155 star reviews? No one has better service and they will meet or beat any written offer. Go to mightyph.com.
All right, Joe Ellis said today the team is not for sale, but he left out the word right now because we know eventually it could be up for sale to another bidder. I think I told you about 2 weeks ago that the NFL is currently vetting guys or gals who might want to buy the Broncos. Jeff Bezos has been vetted, and he has been approved to make a bid. That's what I've been told by one source. I'm not going to say it's two sources. If I was on television right now, if I was working in the newspaper business, I would not say this out loud.
You're on camera, though.
This is Sports Talk Radio. This is Sports Talk Radio. I don't hold myself to the same journalistic standard doing Sports Talk Radio, but the source I have is pretty good anyway. With that, the other guy is the owner of the Clippers, Steve Ballmer. He has been approved to make a bid if he wants to as well.
Now, could he own a team in another market? Because he does have the Clippers in Los Angeles.
Well, Stan Kroenke owns the Nuggets, and he had a team in St. Louis.
Oh, but are the Nuggets and Avs in his name? Or are they in? I thought they were in either his wife's name or Josh's name.
They might be in Josh's name, but I'm sure Steve Ballmer can do a little creative paperwork if he wanted to.
That's very fair to say.
I don't think that's too hard to figure out. With that, sale of the team, obviously possible. I asked Joe Ellis specifically, do you get a gut feeling that the Bolins will keep the Broncos in the family? And he said, nice try, Eric. I'm not going to answer that question.
Very sly smile from Joe's part on that. I thought,
right. I mean,
I thought he handled that very well.
He did.
Good humor.
But at the end of the day, it was a direct question. I mean, he's smart enough to know what's coming. But at the end of the day, a lot of people have asked questions. A lot of people ask questions today. I felt that was direct. It doesn't mean it was the most direct question of the day, but it was direct enough to elicit a direct response, which he basically said, I just don't want to answer that. And that is fair. With that, do you think the Bolin family will keep ownership of the Broncos when all is said and done?
If you were looking at the Magic 8-Ball, you would say outlook not so good.
What are the other options?
The other options are sale. And
they have like 5 or 6 options. Is outlook not so good is probably one of them.
Yes.
But they don't have sale on there, I'm sure of it.
No, but that's why you'd say outlook not so good for them owning the team at this time next year. It's more like I've kind of mentioned to a few people today and even on air here. I mean, it's possible look at today and could be new owner, new coach, new quarterback for the Denver Broncos at this time 12 months from now, going into a period of uncertainty that is unlike any team has ever seen with all these things coming together. And one thing that was interesting, I mean, Joe Ellis did kind of spell out what it would take for the team to remain with the Bolin family, but there are a couple of big things that are involved. Number one, he reiterated that the Bolin family, all the heirs of Pat Bolin's estate, all the Bolin children, have to get behind Brittany Bolin. This is a point that he has made consistently since late December of 2019. And the other thing that was really interesting is he talked about how if Brittany Bolin were tapped to run the Broncos on a day-to-day basis, that the trust, at least for a while, would still technically own the team, and the league would have to sign off on Brittany Bolin, even though she isn't in the trust, being the managing partner and owning it. And that's something that it kind of creates a layer of maybe not awkwardness, but just another layer that seems to make keeping the team in the family more of a stretch than perhaps a lot of people would like.
Right. Well, was there any big news there for you, honestly?
I think the big news is that they have gotten approval from the NFL to go through the season with this current structure. And that and that was something.
By this time next year.
Right. But
we'll
Joe Ellis made it clear he had talked with Roger Goodell. And Goodell had, and also not only Goodell, but the NFL Finance Committee, which handles these ownership situations, has signed off on this structure being in place for one more season. Right. So they can focus on football. And, if you talk about upholding Pat Bolin's legacy, Pat Bolin would have wanted the focus for the season to not be on all this hanging over the organization, but on what the Broncos are going to do on the field.
Right.
So that very much focusing on football for the next 5 to 6 months is in keeping with Pat Bolin's wishes.
I'm going to take a hard right turn. So hard, in fact, it has nothing to do with the Broncos. And we should have gotten to this at the top of the show, but we did not. NHL hockey reporter Elliot Friedman is reporting the Avalanche have offered Gabriel Landeskog a 7-year deal for $49 million. I wanted to get that into the show, probably closer to the top of the show, but it kind of slipped through my show notes. This is what Landeskog has been looking for. Mm-hmm. I think the Avalanche and Joe Sakic are giving Landeskog more than they thought they would give him. They are the only team that can offer him an 8-year deal, which would be for $56 million. So maybe the two sides, if they can't come to an agreement, maybe the Avalanche say 8 years for $52 million. But at his age at 28, I'll be very honest with you, Joe, don't do 8 years. Quite frankly, I can't believe you did 7.
I mean, good for Landeskog if he's able to land this deal and stay in Denver.
Is my understanding through the reporting, through Elliot Freeman, there are teams who are interested in Landeskog, and it would not surprise me if a 6 to 7 year deal would be on the table, because free agency opens when? Tomorrow.
And the other thing that then comes into play is if you've got Landeskog done and you obviously have taken care of Cale Makar with a long-term deal, what a Philip Grubauer.
They're saying goodbye to him.
Yeah. And here's what's interesting. We're talking about an environment where goalie is very much in flux. I mean, look at the Vegas Golden Knights today saying goodbye to Marc-Andre Fleury.
And how did they say goodbye to him? Did you see this?
Yeah.
Through Twitter.
The most important player in that franchise being arguably the most successful expansion team, certainly in the NHL, in the history of the NHL, maybe in the history of pro sports, and that's how he found out about it?
I got to tell you something. My cousin lives in Nashville. He's a huge Predators fan. He grew up in Buffalo, big Sabres fan, big Bills fan, obviously understands hockey. And we were talking during the Avs Vegas series. And I said, I don't know if you're watching the series. And he goes, oh, I am. Yeah. I go, really? I go, do you have a rooting interest? He goes, absolutely. I want the Avs to win. I said, really? Why do you feel so strongly? He goes, I hate Vegas. I hate everything about their organization. They're a terrible organization. They treat their players like crap, and they're arrogant. And I just kind of brushed it off like, I don't know why you're so angry, Michael. So, whatever. And then after I saw what they did with Marc-Andre Fleury today, mm-hmm. releasing him on Twitter or trading him on Twitter, that's garbage. That really is.
Thought they had more class than that.
They don't, apparently.
Obviously not. But back to the fact that very, very much we're talking about Gonley being in the news. If Philip Grubauer's not back, what are you doing if you're the Avs?
Well, you're hoping that Francois stays healthy, and then they have a couple of young guys.
Yeah, I mean, are you relying on that, or are you saying...
No, that's where you... I mean, unless you want to go after, like, Tuukka Rask.
But he's having hip surgery.
I understand that, and that's what you and I talked about weeks ago. Right. You want to let go of Grubauer, that's fine, but you have a lot of goalies out there right now who are going to cost not as much as Grubauer, but they are the better ones are coming off of injuries.
I mean, Peter Mrazek from the Hurricanes. I mean, take a look at him. Because they've proven they can do without him.
Right.
But again, same thing. You're talking about a guy who didn't play very much this past year.
Right. All right. Coming up after the break, I hate to put it this way,
but
this is the only way to put it. The Von Miller hyperbole train blew through Dove Valley today.
Hurricane Von?
No. The Von Miller hyperbole train blew through Dove Valley today. Is that an inaccurate thing to say?
Not exactly, although I think he has...
Enough said. Let's tease it and go to the break.
There's one guy I think he has a really good point on. I'll tell you which one on the other side.
Fine, I know who it is, but the rest, the hyperbole train, yes or no?
Yes. Complain, but when you're driving me insane, well, then I think it's time that we took a break.
Maybe we're just trying too hard.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive, Goodman, Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us. Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, not retail, wholesale lumber to the public for your next project, whether it's a deck, a fence, siding, anything, do not pay retail anymore at those big box stores. Go wholesale at Rocky Mountain Forest Products. Go to rmfp.com. Also, don't forget to download our app. You can take us on the go, Mile High Sports. You can listen to us in your car, at the gym, at a funeral, wherever you want to go.
Funeral.
Well, I mean, I'm just a bris. Fine. At a bris. You can go to a bris. I mean,
granted, we can put the fun in funeral, but if you listen to us, but.
Fun in funeral. We can?
Obviously. Okay. You can't spell funeral without fun, right?
That's, I never thought of it.
You know what? Maybe that's an idea for hopefully many, many years from now when I kick it and.
We could be on demand at a funeral.
I want people to have fun at my funeral.
There you go. You can take us on demand. You can listen to our podcast. Go to Mile High Sports and just download it for your phone. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending is presented by Colorado Off-Road in Littleton. If you need major accessory brands or something off-market for your truck, car, Jeep, or SUV, they've got it. Upfit today at Colorado Off-Road or go to cooffroad.com.
I know Von Miller wants to be a good teammate. I know Von Miller wants to say the right things. I know Von Miller wants to be a leader. I know Von Miller wants to pump up his teammates. But I'm sorry, at least once a year, the Von Miller hyperbole train rolls into town and it made a stop at Dove Valley today. Here are some of the things that he said. This about the offense, saying this with a smile. I can go out there and lead that offense on the playoffs. The playoffs will happen for this team because we are too talented not to make it to the playoffs. As far as the offense, again, I can go out there and play quarterback and throw it to Jerry Jeudy. There's no reason we can't win. Garrett Bowles is the best left tackle in the league. Draymond Jones is the best defensive tackle I've ever played with. I know that you probably agree with the Draymond Jones.
Oh, I think he's headed for a breakthrough type of year. Yes, 100%.
I feel the same exact way. But Von, enough. I mean, remember, this is the same guy who said, I see some similarities and some characteristics that are similar between Peyton Manning and Trevor Siemian.
They're both smart
and white. Other than that, and they play quarterback, and they both have single digits as their number, don't they?
No, well, double digits.
Double digits.
Two, yeah, 18 and 13. Although Trevor Siemian was number three when he first came in.
With that, eventually, it's like the little boy who cried wolf. Mm-hmm. When you say things that you're like, come on, really? Then it's hard to believe the next thing the person's going to say. It's hard to take him seriously.
Yeah, I mean, I think you make a really good point there. And that's the one thing with Von Miller and his effusive praise over the years. He said a lot of things about a lot of guys. Now, I thought it was interesting, though, that when he talked about Draymond Jones, said he was more explosive than anybody, more explosive than anybody he'd ever played with, which immediately perks your ears up because guys he's played with include Malik Jackson and Derek Wolfe. And we know what they were around here, especially back in 2015.
You got to take it with a grain of salt. Again, when you throw out that much hyperbole, you have to take it with a grain of salt. I'm sorry, but Draymond Jones, right now, he could be. Malik Jackson was a force. Against the run and the pass.
He was a force of nature. He was.
Against the run and the pass. Maybe Draymond Jones can be as good. Maybe he can be. But Malik Jackson was special. Not special to the level of what Von Miller was in that 2015 season. Malik Jackson was great. Derek Wolfe was great. I don't know if Draymond Jones will get to that level. That's the problem. That when you throw out so many superlatives about so many different topics, it's hard to look at it and say, well, maybe this is the one that's right.
I will say this, though, in the midst of all that, I think you made an interesting point about the quarterbacks. yes, Von Miller is being hyperbolic about saying, oh, I could go out there and play quarterback, even though he said it a couple of times. We learned last year in the New Orleans game that you just can't put anybody out there to play quarterback no matter what the situation, because Kendall Hinton had college starting experience and the poor kid did what he could and did and played nobly and it didn't work out. But I think Vaughn kind of indirectly makes an interesting point when he talks about the talent they have at the skill positions. It really is on the quarterback to just set those guys up to succeed, to make the decision to throw to the open man and get it the ball there accurately. And by Vaughn saying that, I think it may sort of underscore the how unless Drew Lock becomes a steadier and more accurate quarterback and more consistent quarterback, that Bridgewater might be where this thing goes in the end. Because you do have a bounty of skill position talent with Courtland Sutton coming back and Jerry Jeudy in his second year and Noah Fant and what you have at running back and even Albert Okwuegbunam, who was mentioned repeatedly today. You do have guys who can stretch the field. You do have guys who are matchup problems who are going to get open. And the quarterback's job one is not to be spectacular. It is to set those skill guys up to do spectacular things. And that means getting the ball from A to B. And who does that the best? And if Drew Lock can't be more consistent, it's going to play into Teddy Bridgewater's hands. And that is my and that is my soliloquy on what Vaughn was saying.
Okay.
Your thoughts?
He lost me at there are similarities between Peyton Manning and Trevor Siemian.
So he lost you 5 years ago.
He did. He honestly did. Because I know he was trying to pump him up. I get it.
But that's what teammates do. And isn't that what you want leaders to do? To pump up young teammates to elevate them, to build their confidence.
I want them to build their confidence and say positive things publicly when any reasonable person can say, you know what? I can see that. But no one can see similarities between Peyton Manning and Trevor Siemian. He jumped the shark on that one. Now, if he never said that and said Draymond Jones is the best defensive tackle he's ever played with, I wouldn't disagree with that. Garrett Bowles, the best left tackle in the league, don't agree with that. That might be your opinion, but no, he's not. But I could at least buy it. Does that make sense? I could at least buy the argument, or I could at least listen to the argument, listen to your points, and say, you know what? You bring up a good point.
I mean, you can say, Bowles was second team All-Pro last year, so you can make the argument.
What I'm saying to you is some of the things that he said, okay, I can see where an argument can be made. But when you say something so vacacta, so outrageous like that, sorry, you've lost me. You just have. I think Paxton Lynch has the ability to do what John Elway did. If somebody said that, you wouldn't listen to a word that person said moving forward. No way. You'd say that guy's full of it. It's all hyperbole, just trying to pump somebody up. I like Von Miller, but he does this stuff a lot. Mm-hmm. So you just don't know. I can go out there and play quarterback. I don't think you can. I know you'd like to, but no, you can't. Mm-hmm. No, you can't. Sorry, you can't.
All right, so he lost you. I agree that he can be hyperbolic.
Yep.
But I think
Miller's a good dude.
When you start peeling back the layers, I think there's an element of truth there, and that's why I thought what he said about the quarterbacks and what they need to do and what level of quarterbacking would allow this offense to succeed because of the quality of skill players they have. I thought there was some truth there.
As I said, I can look at everything that he said and make an argument for and listen to an argument and say, you made a good point. Mm-hmm. But when you start comparing Peyton Manning to Trevor Siemian, sorry, you've lost credibility there.
Yeah.
You just have.
Yeah.
So anything that comes out of your mouth next, you're wondering if you're either telling the truth or trying to pump somebody up. Yeah. What do we have coming up on Mountain High Appliance, just in case you missed it?
Training camp just getting started, and Ron Rivera already, quote, beyond frustrated with some of his players. Also, the Rockies continue their West Coast road trip tonight against the Angels. We'll talk about that next, right here on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason on Mile High Sports.
And Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Staring at the ceiling, making...
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive, Goodman, Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mount Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. Time now for the final word.
The final word. Are you ready? Presented by Denver Distillery. Their sweet potato vodka, bourbon, rum, and gin has a smooth and clean taste. Find Denver Distillery off Broadway in Denver or buy it at your local liquor store. And if they don't have it, demand it. Just in case you missed it. Presented by Mountain High Appliance, Colorado's favorite appliance store for 25 years in Louisville, Colorado Springs, and now open in their new store in Littleton. Go to mountainhighappliance.com.
Just in case you missed it, the Rockies lost last night, unfortunately, to the Los Angeles Angels. Shohei Ohtani was on the mound, pitched 7 innings, also had an RBI single, 1 earned run, 5 Ks from the mound for Ohtani, and a stolen base, I believe. The over-under for tonight's game, pitching matchup Gomber and Suarez, first pitch just around 7:40 p.m. Mountain Time. 9 runs tonight. You think they're going over 9 runs, under 9 runs? Last night was 6-2.
You know, Gomber's been pretty effective. I mean, it's on the road, but I'm going to take the under.
Can I say something that's completely terse about the Colorado Rockies?
Yeah.
I just don't care. I don't want to watch their games anymore. They're about to trade Trevor Story, and even if they keep him, who cares? They're doing it so they can get a compensatory supplemental pick. They're not worth my time anymore. They're not worth my time when it comes to talking about them on this show. Dick Monfort's not worth talking about anymore. They're eventually going to trade John Gray. When you get a good team, we'll give you some airtime.
It's the only local team playing right now, so I figured we should probably mention that they have a game tonight.
It has nothing to do with you.
No, I know. I just wanted to say to our listeners who may care about the Rockies.
If you care about
the... We try to bring them up... Sometimes,
if you care about the Colorado Rockies, I feel badly for you. You care about a crappy team and a crappy organization. We have training camp that started today. We have news about Gabriel Landeskog. We have news coming out of the Olympics. The Rockies haven't earned time on this show. From my opinion, they have not. Unless we want to sit and rail on Dick Monfort for hiring Jeff Breidich.
Well, we're going to get into them at 5:15.
Oh, we are with Dan Evans, who used to be the GM of the Dodgers. Right. And we will talk to Dan about how the Rockies will probably find a way to screw up the trade deadline.
Well, the other thing also, kind of with the Broncos, with all respect to the other questions, as long as ownership is an issue, that's the top thing. With the Rockies, as long as they've got a front office that doesn't have many people on staff, questions about the front office general manager are valid.
You know what the Rockies remind me of? When the Colorado Buffaloes were really bad under Dan Hawkins and John Embry. The only time to talk about them was, when are they going to fire Embry? When are they going to fire Dan Hawkins? That's when we talked about Colorado football. And that's what the Rockies are, honestly, right now. If you would like us to talk more Rockies, give us a shout out on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed. At Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman, shoot us a question, and we will talk about it all day long. But I have a feeling there aren't enough people who really care about the Rockies. What can we possibly say about Aaron Gomber?
Austin Gomber.
That's my point.
What's your point? You don't know his name?
No, Danny, I do know his name. I said it incorrectly for a reason. It doesn't matter with this team anymore. Don't take it personally with your question. It has to do with the Rockies organization general.
I just figured we should highlight the only local team in action besides the Colorado Rapids, of course. Speaking of the Colorado Rapids, their opponent in the MLS West, Sporting Kansas City, has a new owner. Patrick Mahomes has bought a stake in that MLS club. Hypothetically, if Stan Kroenke was to sell a stake in the fourth place in the West, Colorado Rapids, which local athlete do you think would be a best partner for that team and ownership group?
It's funny. We heard from him today. We talked about him a little while ago. Probably Von Miller.
I think Jokic would be great. I think McKinnon would be great. Mahomes is Mahomes.
Yeah. Mahomes also.
And I get that.
He has a share of the Royals as well.
I think Jokic has a share like in a horse, doesn't he?
But here's the cool thing about it. As we found out with Aaron Rodgers having a small percentage of Milwaukee Bucks, Aaron Rodgers is going to get a championship ring.
He is.
So you buy a share of a team and they win it all. If the Rockies were MLS Cup champs back in 2010, they win another MLS Cup, you're getting a ring.
But then again, he didn't show up in Milwaukee for the games, did he? Because he was so afraid of getting booed.
Everything seems hunky-dory up there now.
We'll see.
And I think Jokic owns multiple horses, not just shares. So, yeah, he's a big horse guy.
And on Twitter, you see him, like, riding.
Oh, yeah.
Not on the horse, but, like, as
in
a
the cart behind.
Yeah. Cart behind, right.
Yeah. Just in case you missed it, Washington football team coach Ron Rivera said he's beyond frustrated with his players' lower vaccination rate and worries about the impact it might have on the team. Rivera was battling skin cancer last season and is immunocompromised this season. You'd think that might be enough motivation for some of those players, but he says the team is at just over 50%. Is there an extra incentive that you think some of these coaches could offer to their players to have them get the vaccine, whereas things that they don't have to do for practice or camp that they would normally have to do? Or is that going too far to try to motivate the players that way?
You know how they can know how you can motivate them? We don't cut you. That's how we motivate. Now, granted, you're not going to cut the top players on the team.
No, and there have been some top players on Washington that have expressed skepticism. But if you're on the back end of the roster and you're not vaccinated, I think the decision is going to be made for you. And again, I mean, you understand why it's personal for Von Miller, because he just dealt with skin cancer. He's immunocompromised, and he certainly when you're getting treated for cancer, you get to know other cancer patients. He understands their struggle as well. He's very empathetic to what they have to deal with and when and how this can cause problems for the immunocompromised. So I think nobody in the NFL can have more righteous anger on this than Ron Rivera. But also the fact that it's Washington, are you surprised that one of the teams that is lagging behind is Washington? As a franchise, what don't they do wrong? From Daniel Snyder on down. I know he's not involved in the day-to-day.
I never thought I'd hear you use a double negative.
I mean, what
you're
don't
way
they,
too educated for that.
Won't, what don't they do wrong? What do they get right? No, I mean, this is a franchise that if you're making 31 flavors, it would find a way to mess up vanilla. Everything they screw up. Everything. Whatever, you know, it's not the Midas touch. It's whatever they touch turns to lead. Anyway, sorry about that.
You can keep going.
No.
Listen, I went off on the Rockies. You can go off on the Redskins.
Oh, well, they're not that anymore. The Washington football team.
You know what I mean.
Yeah. I know.
The team.
Yeah, but they're not going to be relevant to the Bronco discussion until the end of October when they're on the schedule. The only way they're relevant to the Broncos right now is they're a cautionary tale for how a devoted fan base can eventually turn on you because of so much losing and crap. And it's why the Broncos need to get things turned around.
That was Mountain High Appliance. Just in case you missed it, you can try it before you buy, meaning You can walk in any store and try out the appliances before you buy them. Not to mention, if you need something to, you know, fit your budget, they can help you out. Their sales staff's been there for decades and decades. Or if you want to redesign your whole kitchen, they could do that too. People at the big box stores, they can't help you with that. You can find Mountain High Appliance in Louisville, Littleton. You can also find their clearance center in Denver. Coming up after the break, it was one of the first questions out of the box to Vic Fangio at Media Day today. Who is going to take the first snap at practice? We'll tell you who if you don't know already, but then we're going to tell you why, which you may not know. That's next. A little love.